For those who've got a dishwashing machine in the kitchen, you know how you put some plates in and you keep loading the machine up over a day or maybe 2 days, and then finally you run the machine. And how good is it? You open the door and the plates are sparkling clean. And
I'm going to do this because there's a great picture you're about to see. We have to kill this though. Hang on. Having technology.
There we go. Your plates are sparkling clean, and then you put those dishes away without even looking at them. Your visitor comes, you pull out the dishes, and you give them something that looks, yeah, looks like that. Well, at least if you've got a machine, you can blame it. We don't, so you can only blame the dishwasher when this happens, and so it's even more embarrassing for us. Well, this picture is what we have heard Jesus just say. A picture of a cup. It's clean on the outside, but filthy where it matters. And Jesus says often religious people can be like this cup. Nice looking people. We scrub up pretty well for church, but something filthy festers within. This is the former US Roman Catholic Cardinal, Theodore McCarrick. He's currently the highest profile Roman Catholic priest dismissed by Pope Francis. For many years, McCarrick was highly respected in the US, but no more. Closer to home, what's been the news story this week? It's Cardinal George Pell, guilty of sexually abusing two choir boys. The finding had been suppressed, but now it's come to light. The leader of the Australian Roman Church, a leader of the global Roman Church, are now found guilty of sexual abuse. So many religious people looking good on the outside until you see what's really going on inside. And every time one of these scandals hits, the person on the street thinks, what hypocrisy? What hypocrisy for a church leader? Well, Jesus confronts such hypocrisy in our passage today. Now, in Jesus' time in Israel, the synagogue was in the Jewish community a little bit like a local church in our community. And the Pharisees were part of the leadership of the synagogue. And Jesus' strongest words are for these nice-looking religious people. Have a look at verse 39. So Luke chapter 11, verse 39. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." What hypocrites. Today we're going to see how Jesus deals with hypocrisy in the church. But I need to give you a warning. As much as we rightly cheer Jesus as he deals with hypocrisy, as he smacks down hypocrisy, as the video says, as he lets rip on hypocrisy, Jesus isn't just talking about the George Pells of this world. Hypocrisy is a far deeper and far wider problem than that. As much as we like it when those people are put on the screen for everyone to see, what if it was our story? What our insides are like, put out on the screen for everyone to see. Because there's a bit of that cup in all our lives. We have the same kind of disconnect going on between what we present and what's really happening. So how do we feel that God sees past our performance? How do we feel that God knows what we are really like? Now, the confrontation we're seeing in our passage today, it's brought about because of something Jesus did. I reckon something Jesus deliberately did to raise this issue. He broke one of the religious rules of his time. So, looking at verse 37, Luke chapter 11, verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. Now, to understand this situation, we've got to get some of the backstory. Last year we looked at Leviticus. Leviticus is that book of the Bible full of lots of rules. And these rules came from God after he'd rescued his people from Egypt. God graciously rescued and saved his people from slavery. And now everything God does for Israel and did for Israel, it had nothing to do with whether or not they had kept the rules. It was all because of his kindness. It actually goes back to those promises he made to Abraham. And so the important bit for us to see, and what we saw last year when we looked at Leviticus, is that Israel's relationship with God is not based on the rules. It's not based on what they do. It's based on what God has done. And this is a fact Israel often forgot. They started to think all about their performance and they actually forgot about what God had done. And so when God gives them rules like giving 10%, they forget God actually owns 10%. And so they give their 10% and they go, well, that's good. I've ticked my box. And then hundreds of years after God rescued Israel and they're in the land that God promised, they keep forgetting God. And they just do lip service to God. They might follow some rules and they perform some sacrifices, like those ones we read about in Leviticus, but they forget God actually wanted their whole heart. They forgot God desires mercy and not sacrifice. And so the story of Israel is that God sends them to exile in Babylon, and then when they return from exile, people like the Pharisees, they start off wanting to truly obey God, and they start off wanting to fix the problem in Israel that led to terrible things happening, like the Babylonians coming in and trying to wipe them out. And so they make up rules so you can't break the real rules. They make rules up about special ways to wash cups and plates and special ways to wash your hands. And the reason they did this is, well, what happens if just in case, what happens if you've just happened to get unclean when you're out in the streets and you didn't even know it? Maybe you've just happened to bump into a non-Jew or an unclean person without knowing it. You remember all those cleanliness rules? Well, they wanted to make sure that there was no chance that you could break those cleanliness rules. But the problem is they forgot what's truly important. They kept the outside rules, but inside they're filthy. Verse 39. Then the Lord said to him, this is Jesus speaking to that Pharisee, "Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor and everything will be clean for you." What's Jesus saying? Don't focus on the outside. Focus on what matters. Focus on the inside. And then he goes and takes on three specific way the Pharisees are dirty on the inside. Three woes, three strikes. Strike one, they're meticulous about their tithing. They're fanatic about the 10%, but they don't do the 100%. They oppress the needy and broken people in their community. So verse 42, "Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." Strike two, they want everyone to look up to them. They promote their own name, but they don't care about God's name. Verse 43, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces." And strike three, if you remember back to last year, you remember in Leviticus how death makes you unclean. If you touch a dead body, it makes you unclean. Well, the Pharisees are like this, but in a hidden way. They defile people. They make them unclean. They lead to death, not life. Verse 44, "Woe to you because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it." So three strikes, they're out. Jesus says they need to change. We glossed over it before, but Jesus said in verse 41, "Be generous to the poor and everything will be clean to you." Last week we heard about the eye health, healthy eyes. Do you have healthy or unhealthy eyes? Literally, generous eyes or stingy eyes. Well, the religious leaders have stingy eyes. They're stingy with their money, stingy in their assessment with Jesus. They've got screwed up eyes, screwed up priorities. And Jesus says, you guys need a heart change. You need generosity. They need to pause and remember how generous God has been to them. They've received all this good stuff from God. They don't deserve it. And then from that, they need to show it to others. And that needs to start with their money. There's an old saying, money is like manure. If you let it pile up, it stinks. But if you spread it around, it does a lot of good. Jesus is telling them to spread it around, be generous. Now, he didn't use the manure illustration. I wonder if he would have. They might have got a little bit offended. But guess what? What he did say to them was actually quite harsh. They were offended. Not only the Pharisees, but there were others looking on as well. Verse 45. One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." What do you reckon Jesus did at that point? I didn't mean to offend anyone here. Of course not. That was Jesus' point. He doesn't step back. And I bet you, listen to what happens. I bet you at that point, the religious expert wishes he didn't put his head up above the trenches. He should have stayed down quiet. He would have got away with a lot more. Because Jesus gives three strikes to these religious hypocrites as well. Because they might be experts in the law, but their expert law doesn't feed people's hearts. It's fake religion. It's hypocrisy. So three strikes for these experts in the law as well. Strike one, the law experts load up people with terrible burdens and they do nothing to help. Verse 46, Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." Strike two, they say they're following in the tradition of upholding God's word. And they're right. They're following in the tradition. But it's the tradition that led to the exile. The tradition of ignoring God's word through his prophets. Verse 47. "Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your ancestors who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your ancestors did. They killed the prophets and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that have been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all.'" That's two strikes, three strikes. They take away the only way to know God. Ultimately, they're going to do that not only by killing prophets, but killing the Messiah, by killing Jesus. Verse 52, "Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering." Jesus isn't holding back. How do these religious hypocrites respond? Do they hear these three strikes and they look at themselves and they realise how dirty they are inside and then repent? No. Verse 53, "When Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say." They unite together in their hypocrisy, unite in a path which will lead them to demand for Jesus' death. Now, it's really easy for us to point a finger at these hypocrites, but as your mum probably told you, when you point a finger, there's three coming back at you. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He warns his followers they might be exactly like the Pharisees too. So this is verse 1, Luke chapter 12, verse 1. "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples saying, 'Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" Think about yeast. If you're baking some bread, a quarter of a teaspoon of the stuff works its way through the whole loaf and makes it rise. The point is, just a little bit of hypocrisy will quickly take over. That's what Andrew Broad learnt last year. He's the Nationals rep for Mali. He's a Christian. He's on the record for his Christian values. When Barnaby Joyce fell into sexual temptation, Andrew put himself on a pedestal. He commented on social media, something which Christians often say in these circumstances. He said on social media, when character is lost, all is lost. In less than 12 months, Andrew Broad finds himself headline news and facing the media, caught in a similar scandal. Now the point of this isn't to have a go at Andrew or Barnaby or actually any of these men we've talked about this morning. Now, yes, hypocrisy is rightly called out, but we've got to be careful because yeast infects us very quickly. And Jesus warns, one day the dirt will be exposed. Verse 2. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ears in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. It might happen in this life. Your hypocrisy might become front page news. Or it may be on the judgment day, but it will come out. What have we seen so far? So in that section in chapter 11, Jesus is taking on the hypocrisy of religious leaders. They might be clean on the outside, but they're dirty on the inside. But then he's spun the warning around. It's not just the powerful leaders who are hypocrites. It's a danger for every single one of us. But Jesus doesn't just show us the mess and leave us there. No, Jesus offers a solution to hypocrisy. We've already seen the first solution. It was in verse 41. Clean up your insides. Make the outside match the inside. Have a heart full of generosity. And that's a solution, but that was in the section for the religious leaders. And although it's a true solution, I think Jesus actually said that to condemn the leaders, because they're not going to listen. But to his disciples, he gives a second solution. And the deep solution to hypocrisy is knowing God's loving grace. Verse 4, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. If you know that God is both holy and just, and also holy and loving, we've got a real solution to hypocrisy. If you think that God is out to get you, then it's a stupid solution, but you're going to try and hide. You'll keep the outside looking clean, and you'll think that you can not only fool the people watching you, but you think you can fool God, and you'll never deal with the inside. But if you know that God is also full of grace, then you'll take that dirty cup to him. You'll take it to him for forgiveness, and also to be washed by his Holy Spirit. The solution to hypocrisy is loving grace. Because if there is grace and truth, if you are worth more to God than a couple of sparrows, then you can be safe fessing up to the truth and repenting of what you really are. And so Jesus says you've got to choose. What are you going to choose? Are you going to go with Jesus and grace and the gift of the Spirit changing you from the inside out? Or are you going to stick with the dirty insides but the clean outsides and reject Jesus? Verse 8, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Now verse 10 there is talking about how there is something that even God won't forgive, and it's a verse that has caused concern among Christians. Have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? As with most tricky verses, context helps us read it rightly. Remember what we were looking at last week? The hypocritical religious leaders have just said that Jesus isn't working through the Spirit of God, but through the Spirit of Beelzebul. So the warning of this blaspheming the Holy Spirit is if you keep rejecting Jesus, if you keep rejecting God's Spirit, then you're going to stay like the unwashed cups and you will face God's judgment. Fear the one who can throw you into hell. And sadly, lots of people do this. They reject Jesus' love and grace, and that includes religious leaders who love the clean outside. And so Jesus finishes with this warning passage. He started warning that hypocrisy is contagious. He finishes by warning hypocrisy is dangerous. It's contagious and dangerous because hypocrites will attack Jesus and his followers. Verse 11, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. What a great promise, especially at this point in Jesus' life. His face is set at Jerusalem and the cross, and the leaders are dialing up the pressure. We know this crowd, who at this point they're following Jesus. There are so many of them, they're trampling on each other, just trying to get to Jesus. But many of them in the coming days and weeks, they're going to give in. But Jesus promises the Spirit is going to be with his followers. And so they don't need to be hypocrites. They don't have to hide that they're followers of Jesus. The Spirit will strengthen them to have the same outside and inside, to tell the truth so that their inside and their outside match even when they are attacked for following Jesus. So what have we seen today? It's the problem of the dirty cup. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were clean on the outside, meticulously clean. You couldn't spot a fault. But inside, where it counts, they were dirty. And Jesus has rebuked them and warned the crowd, don't be like that. Don't be hypocrites. Instead, find grace and truth in Jesus. Sadly, this problem of hypocrisy, it's not limited to Jesus' day. When we turn to the book of Acts, Luke part 2, we even see followers of Jesus still have some of that Pharisee yeast in them. When Peter is called to go to the house of a Gentile, a man named Cornelius, he didn't want to go because he thought it would make him unclean. He was worried about the outside of the cup. But God shows him in no uncertain terms that because of what Jesus has done on the cross and because the Holy Spirit has come, anyone who trusts in Jesus can be washed clean and join the kingdom. The same washing that was available for Peter is available for Gentiles. He didn't need to be a hypocrite when it came to the Gentiles. Now, it's not just the Andrew Broads and the George Pells who have a problem with hypocrisy, though, is it? We all do. Something I've noticed as a parent. In fact, I noticed it yesterday. I'll probably notice it today. How often do I go to discipline my kids and then realise where they learn it from? When you shout at the kids, stop shouting! Or you tell them they've had too much screen time, they need to go outside and play, but once they do, you immediately sit down to enjoy the peace and quiet and, yeah, you pull it out, don't you? None of us live up to our own standards 100% of the time. We are all hypocrites to some degree. It's just some of us get caught. What we all need is God's forgiveness. We need to know forgiveness, and that will save us from having a fake front. Do you know how much you need Jesus? Now, Jesus reveals our hypocrisy. And if you don't know his love, that he knows the truth of what you are like inside, yet you are still more precious to him than dozens, hundreds, thousands of sparrows, today's the day to turn to him and find forgiveness. And we need to see ourselves in this fantastic quote from Martin Luther, where he said, "We are all mere beggars, showing other beggars where to find bread." It's when you face up to your own beggarness that you can find grace in Jesus and be changed by that grace. You sometimes hear people complain, the church is full of hypocrites. And it's often used as an excuse to never come near a church. On one level, it's right to quip back, well, that's okay, mate, there's room for one more. Because we're all hypocrites. None of us live up to that high calling of Jesus, but on another level, that actually shouldn't be true, is it? Our followers of Jesus shouldn't be hypocrites. By God's grace, we are people being changed by the Spirit. God's Spirit changes us. There's no reason for stingy eyes or stingy hearts. And because of grace, we also must be people who face up to the sin within. Is our church family a place where you can be honest about sin and hear both a rebuke and a word of grace? Or do you feel you've got to put on a show, wash the outside? If we can't be real with sin here, do we really believe the gospel? Hypocrisy is a big problem. When the big names fall, we are right to be angry. But we must also be aware of the yeast, to look at ourselves and turn to Jesus to forgive us and to change us. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you so much that you know what we are really like, yet you still offer us love and grace. Please help us to know ourselves and our great need for Jesus and to come to you for forgiveness, grace and your Spirit. Lord, we pray for those who've been hurt and damaged by the hypocrisy of those claiming the name of Jesus. This has done such damage to these people and the name of Jesus. Please bring justice and healing. For those of us trusting in Jesus, please protect us from the yeast of hypocrisy. Help us to be consistent inside and outside. Please change us so we have nothing to hide. Help us to know your grace so we can be honest even with our sin. Please may our church be free of hypocrisy, not only because we are growing in holiness, but even more because we are growing in grace, openness, honesty and accountability. May we be known as a strange place, where people are able to face up and not have a fake front. And may this bring glory to Jesus and cause people to see how good it is to know him. For his sake we pray. Amen.